It's Tuesday, 6 o'clock. That went pretty good. I'm trying to, you know, working on my technique. It's going to take a while, but hey, it's a Jesus Day, brothers and sisters and brothers.
Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? I've been hearing his name all over the land.
This week on Bughouse Square, you heard me correctly, it is the Jesus Show. This is always the Tuesday before Easter. Been doing this for many years. And as a recovering Catholic, I relish this day.
Rainy night down in the engine house, sleeping just as still as a mouse. Man come along and chased us out in the rain. Was that a vigilante man? Stormy days we'd pass the time away, sleeping in some good warm place. Man come along and we give him a little race. Was that a vigilante man? Preacher Casey was just a working man, and he said, unite all you working men. Killed him in the river, some strange man. Was that a vigilante man? A vigilante man. Why does a vigilante man carry that sawed-off shotgun in his hand? Would he shoot his brother and sister down? I rambled around from town to town. I rambled around from town to town. And they herded us around like a wild herd of cattle. Was that the vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? Have you seen that vigilante man? I've heard his name all over the land.
Heart with love today. Don't play the game of time. Things that happened in the past only happened in your mind, only in your mind. Oh, forget your mind and you'll be free. The writing's on the wall. Just remember, lovers never lose, 'cause they are free of thoughts unpure and of thoughts unkind. Gentleness clears the soul, love cleans the mind and makes it free. This is happening. Dragons have been bled. Gentleness is everywhere. Fear is just in your head. Only in your head. Fear is in your head. Only in your head. So forget your head and you'll be remember, lovers never lose, 'cause they are free of thoughts, unpure, and of thoughts unkind. Gentleness clears the soul, love will clean your mind and make you a furry.
Sleep well. tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's alright, yes, everything's alright, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you and anoint you, Myrtle, you're not far head out. Then you feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine.
Your eyes. confess. The council waits for you. The Pharisees and priests are here for you.
Ah, gentlemen, you know why we are here. We've not much time and quite a problem here.
Lunkheads in the street. A trick or two with livers, and the whole town's on his feet.
He is dangerous.
Superstar.
He is dangerous.
The man is in town right now to whip up some support.
Go call the Roman guard.
No, wait. We need a more permanent solution to our problem.
What they can do about Jesus of Nazareth, miracle, wonder man, hero, fool.
Riots, no army, no fighting, no slogans.
One thing I'll say for him, Jesus is cool.
We did not leave him to his own devices. Half-witted fans will get out of control.
But how can we stop him? His glamour increases by leaps every minute. He's top of the world.
I see bad things arising. The crowd crowning king, which the Romans would ban. I see blood and destruction, our elimination because of one man. Blood and destruction because of one man. Because of one man. Our elimination because of one man. Because of one. Because of one man.
What then to do about this Jesus mania?
How do we deal with the carpenter king?
Where do we start with a man who is bigger than John was when John did his baptism?
You have no perception. The stakes we are gambling are frighteningly high. We must crush him completely. So like John before him, this Jesus must die. For the sake of the nation, this Jesus must die. Must die. This Jesus must die. So like John before him, this Jesus must die. Must die. This Jesus must die.
Hey, that's this Jesus Must Die. Don't be afraid. It's only a record. And you know what? They say he had a come in, but it's just the Jesus show. So we're going to continue to pursue the story of Jesus and thereabouts. Anyway, yeah, this Bughouse Square. Scott's visiting. Thank you so much. He dragged his broken body, much like Jesus, carrying his bass guitar, limping down the street, gathering help from those kind-hearted town folk. Let's see. That was from the Jesus Christ Superstar. Before that, we had the Doobie Brothers from the Toulouse Street. Jesus is Just All Right. We had the Velvet Underground in there doing Jesus. We opened up with David Bowie off Hunky Dory, Fill Your Heart. Yeah, so yeah, here we are, the Jesus Show. It's got, that means Sunday's Easter, and I can continue to drink. Not that I have a problem, obviously I haven't drank in the last 6 weeks, but I've thought about it. I've thought about it often. But that's all right. I'll have a drink come Sunday. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'll just go another week. You know, that's could go either way. Anyway, this is Radio Valencia. We're near the corner of 22nd and Mission, in the beautiful Mission, where it's always flat and sometimes sunny. It's a nice day today. It was, you know, it's chilly. We're supposed to get some good weather, but we're not going to get in the weather. Let's get into politics, man. This is it's a scary mess. Scary mess. They're just, you know, I'm not a big, was never a big Hovind fan, but it was good to see them pushing back the shit that they're asking. It's I have to laugh. I mean, I come from a tragic life, and that's how I dealt with stuff. So that's my coping mechanism. But get out there and fight. Be careful. They're you know, homegrown ones. No one's off the menu now, man. No one's off the menu. Let's go do this.
The Iron Hand, it ain't no match for the Iron Rod. The strongest wall will crumble and fall to a mighty God. For all those who have eyes and all those who have ears, it is only He who can reduce me to tears. Don't you cry, and don't you die, and don't you burn. Like a thief in the night, he'll replace wrong with right when he returns. Is an arrow, and the gate is narrow that it passes through. He unleashed his power at an unknown hour that no one knew. Listen to the lies of prejudice. How long can I stay drunk on fear out in the wilderness? Can I cast it aside, all this loyalty and this pride? Will I ever learn? That there'll be no peace, that the world won't cease until He returns. Surrender your crown on this bloodstained ground. Take off your mask. He sees your deeds, He knows your needs, even before you ask. How long can you falsify and deny what is real? How long can you hate yourself for the weakness you conceal? of every earthly plan that be known to man. He is unconcerned. He's got plans of his own to set up his throne when he returns.
Anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob who sing your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse.
Moaning at the crowd, nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue was still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing.
Superstar. Make me cry.
Yeah. Yuri G, are you with me, man?
I am.
Have you experienced Jesus Christ Superstar in its entirety?
Who is the man?
No, I actually have. I mean, I've watched the movie, but I've never seen it performed.
Oh, but the have you listened to the record?
I haven't. You know, I was, as we'll get into it a little bit, I was raised in a Christian home, but mm-hmm. Jesus Christ Superstar was a little too, like, popular hippie for the religion I was raised in.
I see. You had to, like, sneak it?
Yeah, well, my wife, you know, Lady G, she was raised on Jesus Christ Superstar.
Sure.
She knows it quite well.
Yeah, I know she actually quoted a song or two when... I was like, oh, you know, you're a superstar.
That was part and parcel to their hippie Christianity. I was raised in the opposite of that.
Right. It meant a lot to me in a weird way. I don't know if it was weird, but it was kind of the first. It was like rock music. Okay, you know, I'm like 10. So I'm getting into that, and then it's like the story that, you know, I've been had like fucking drilled into my head for, you know, my 10 years of my life.
Right.
And then it was like Jesus is like, wow, he's so cool, you know. He's
right.
Like,
it seems impossible to even can comprehend that, right?
Yeah, and you know, it was I think it at the time it did. I think it did Christianity well, maybe even Catholicism, good for business, I'd say.
Good for business, yeah, but, you know, I think it's consistent with kind of what I'm calling in about today.
Can I just say one thing before, while it's still in my mind, because I forget things all the time, Yuri G.
Yep.
I think Christians are the worst of hypocrisy. I think they got the title, man. If there's anything to be hypocritical about the Christians, they got it down, man. Got it down.
Yeah, but you know, I think this is a debate I've had with my father-in-law, who was an ordained Catholic priest for a time.
Yes. Away from the church in his collar by her sexy ways.
yeah, by my mother-in-law, yes. Yeah. But that's part of it. Part of it, though, was also just the day-to-day, as I understand, of serving the people, right? And that the people see what they want in Christianity, and that's part of the problem. And, like, what you want to see, you know, tells the world more about you than about...
So what do you think, like, the cherry-picking kind of Christianity aspect?
Well,
or?
There's a lot in there. You know, the conversation he and I have had over the years is, you know, that, you know, people who gravitate towards the Old Testament, you're choosing the writings of, you know, cave people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, 2,500 years old, 2,500 years ago plus. I mean, more than that. More than 4,000-year period, right?
Right.
And the time of Christ is much later. Right, I mean, you get much more civilization. People are living much more closely the way that we're living than the way that, you know, like early, the Old Testament is about, right?
Right.
And like the rules and the laws and the way of seeing the world, the superstition and the magic and all that of the Old Testament, and the wrath and the mentality.
Wrath.
It's very far away from our experience, and I don't know why you would then choose, as a modern person, to look at, you know, the Old Testament and say, yeah, that's where my faith is, instead of the faith of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what I'm coming here to talk about today.
So, well, I mean, I'm trying to find your point. Are more people Old Testament or New Testament, or what do you...
I mean, I was raised in an environment where the laws of the Old Testament and the... That was really more prominent, you know, kind of in the Christianity that I was raised in, and not the compassion and the hope and the optimism and the charity
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel you now. We had in Catholic schooling, and I went for 8 years, and You know, we did the classics, right? You know, the Noah and you know, the Turning to Stalt and, you know, those, the, you know, the Romulus and Remus, all these, like, you know, the classics.
It's a different religion, but that's all good.
Yeah. But, yeah, right. But I don't know. I don't know. I never studied the Bible, and that's, you kind of, you always impress me with your kind of knowledge of the good book.
Well, I think your Romulus and Remus comment is well taken, actually, because, like, there's a mythology, I think, in the Old Testament, right? There's this magic, and there's this mystery, and there's this anger, and there's this pestilence, and there's, you know, and there's plagues, and there's, you know, and there's people smashing each other's heads in with stones, and people, yeah, being tormented, and there's weird rules that have nothing, that have no bearing, yeah, on modern life.
The vengeful God.
Yeah, it's a vengeful God, but it's also like, you know, no gay sex and don't touch, you know, pig on Sunday. You know, it's just like, come on. Where's the love in this? And then it seems so distant from the love of Christ. And indeed, you know, thousands of years separate these two things that we put together in the same book.
Right.
And so, I'm you know, and on this day, or as we prepare for Easter, I guess, and, you know, I'm speaking from it as a non-Christian, I don't want to represent somehow I'm, you know, speaking from, you know, I don't know, a place of faith, but, you know, why not choose the love and compassion and hope and charity and community of Christ instead of the, you know, the fire and brimstone and the brutality and the curses of, you know, the Old Testament God. That's what I'm saying.
I think that's beautifully put. And why not? You know, why? That's the big conundrum for me, is like the seething hatred, you know, that, like, comes out of, like, people you see, and it's just like, oh my God, what, you know? And then having that I get that, but then you throw the Christianity, like, we are God, you know, God's people or whatever, and then acting like that, it's just so. That's the hypocrisy, man. That's the that it hurts me so much to see that it like, it's, I get physically ill, you know, when I get, like, exposed to that.
Yeah, it's you might even say antichrist.
Yes, it is, and it's like, you know, I mean, it's a lot of picking and choosing out of the book and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
but
and that's it. That's something that my father-in-law said. He's like, the Bible is a Rorschach blot, right? You can find it in it. You see in it what you see in it. Right, and what I choose to see in it when I look is something different, I think, than what I was raised in.
All right, and I think it's probably for the better, man, from the stories I've heard.
I think so. You know, and so, which brings me to today. You know, I got a little bit here. So, you know, raising my kids in religion is kind of important, and it's not just about Christianity, but, you know, like, you know, learn a lot about religion and go where you feel right. Right.
Right.
That part of that is, you know.
I mean, it the religion has had quite an effect on humanity throughout the
right.
You know, so
you got to make some sense of some big issues, right? And, like, got to grapple with them. And there's lots of different ways to grapple with them. And I don't want to limit your view on what that could be. So I have Christian stuff around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I got Buddhist stuff around. I got other stuff around, right? I'm more of a Buddhist myself, but what I also have is this little collection of books of the Bible. With introduction from, like, famous artists, like Bono and Grace Paley and Will Self, and, you know, among others. And I got one with introduction by Nick Cave.
I love Nick.
And I didn't really know, and it's dumb because I don't know much about, I didn't know much about Nick Cave, come to know more from all kinds of reasons. Know that he's, you know, he's religious, right? And he's explicitly religious.
His father was wasn't his father a man of the cloth or something?
He was raised in the Anglican Church, and it's a very, you know, if you know, as you start to examine this, you know, his work, it's, you know, religion, in fact, features very prominently and speaks openly about religion. And he wrote this introduction to the Gospel of Mark. That when I picked up this collection, I was like, what? Nick Cave? And I read this, and it was profound, I thought. So if you don't mind,
not at all.
Introduction to Nick Cave's There Is a Kingdom, which is the song I've sent over today. I want to read you a little bit from Nick Cave.
Do it.
All right. When I bought my first copy of the Bible, the King James Version, it was to the Old Testament that I was drawn. with this maniacal, punitive God that dealt with that dealt out his long-suffering humanity punishments that had me jaw-dropped in disbelief at the very depth of their vengefulness. I had a burgeoning interest in violent literature, coupled with an unnamed sense of divinity in all things. And in my early 20s, the Old Testament spoke to that part of me that railed and hissed and spat at the world. I believed in God, but I also believed in a God that that God was malign. And if the Old Testament was a testament to anything, it was a testament to that. Evil seemed to live so close to the surface of its existence within it. You could smell its mad breath, see the yellow smoke curl from its many pages, hear the blood-curdling moans of despair. It was a wonderful, terrible book, and it was a sacred scripture. But you grow up. You do. You mellow out. Buds of compassion push through the cracks of black and bitter soil. Your rage ceases to need a name. You no longer find comfort watching a whacked-out God tormenting the wretched humanity as you learn to forgive yourself and the world. That God of old begins to transmute in your heart. Base metals become silver and gold, and you warm to the world. Then one day I met an Anglican vicar, and he suggested that I give the Old Testament a rest and to read Mark instead. I hadn't read the New Testament at that stage because the New Testament was about Jesus Christ, and the Christ I remember from the choir boy days was all that wet, all-loving, atoileated individual of a church that the church proselytized. I spent my preteen years singing in the cathedral choir, and even at that age, I recall thinking that what a wishy-washy affair the whole thing was. The Anglican Church was the decaf of worship, and Jesus was their Lord. Why Mark, I asked. Because it's short, he replied. The Christ that emerged from Mark, tramping through the haphazard events of his life, had a ringing intensity about him that I could not resist. Christ spoke to me through his isolation, through his burden of his death, through his rage at the mundane, through his sorrow. Christ, it seemed to me, was a victim of humanity's lack of imagination, was hammered to the cross with the nails of created vapidity. The gospel according to Mark has continued to inform my life as the root source of my spirituality, my religiousness. The Christ that the church offers us, the bloodless, placid Savior, the man smiling benignly at a group of children or calmly, serenely hanging from the cross, denies Christ his potent, creative sorrow and his boiling anger that confronts us so forcefully in Mark. Thus, the church denies Christ his humanity, offering up a figure that we can perhaps praise but never relate to. The essential humanness of Mark's Christ provides us with a blueprint of our own lives, so we have something that we can aspire to rather than revere, that can lift us free of the mundanity of our existences, rather than affirming the notion that we are lowly and unworthy. Merely to praise Christ in his perfectness keeps us on our knees with our heads pitifully bent. Clearly, this is not what Christ had in mind. Christ came as a liberator. Christ understood that we as humans were forever held to the ground, by the pull of gravity, our ordinariness, our mediocrity. And it was through his example that he gave us our imaginations, the freedom to rise and to fly. In short, to be Christ-like.
Nice.
And that's Nick Cave's Christ, and I am much more tuned in with that.
Right on. I feel you. Yeah, Nick, he's cool, man. He did a nice thing on AI and music. That's when that's a brilliant monologue on that.
He feels deeply, and the song.
Okay, I'm there. Wait a minute, no, I'm not. This is hold on. Yeah, there's the EO. Got it. So what I'm going to do is hit this, and it's probably going to disconnect you. So thanks so much for that, and have a nice Easter, however you guys explore it down in those parts, whatever rituals. But here we go. I'm touching this. Touch it again. It has accepted my request and is seeing if it's worthy of playing it for me. Should be coming up any minute now.
Just like a bird that sings up the sun. river.